lovers and sinners, all you children of sex, and we are all children of sex. We may or may not be children of God, Jesus, Brother Joseph, or the rubber goddess, but until we start cloning ourselves, we are all children of sex. And sex is what we talk about here on Radio Susie One, all aspects of sex, love, life, and death. Necrology might combine some of those subjects, actually. And tonight, we are talking about necrology, rubber, Mormon, love. What a combination. I mean, here on Radio Susie One, where I am the Reverend Dr. Susan Block, by the way, your pleasure preacher, your humble servant in ethical hedonism, your student of religion, your mother confessor, your ever so slightly twisted little sister. And we do talk about all kinds of things related to sex, you know, here on the show. But this is a very interesting combination tonight that we're penetrating. We have quite a stimulus package for you. First of all, my engineer, Brother Max.
Hey, Doc.
How you doing, darling?
I'm doing just great.
Yeah. We have a really interesting group of guests tonight.
The Mormons have landed.
Yes. And I'm not sure what to say has landed right here. But right here is Rubber Necro. All in rubber. Hiding her pretty face. You have to speak on the radio, Rubber.
Okay.
Yes. Get very close to that microphone. Yes. Like you're giving it head. And, you know, don't slobber on it, though. And since you can't really seem to breathe through those nose holes.
Oh, I could.
Oh, you can breathe?
Yeah,
okay.
I could.
Yeah, okay. So you're all encased in rubber. And this is your thing. This is your fetish. This is practically your religion.
Exactly.
Mm.
I love rubber.
You love rubber. And can you hear her?
Yes.
Well, okay. I'm having a little trouble hearing you, so speak up a little, darling.
Okay.
So, oh, there you go. Very good. Much, much better. That's beautiful. And I understand that you were at a religious ceremony this morning.
Yeah, I was actually at my little brother's catechism.
Wow. Okay. So you are a Catholic rubber fetishist.
Yes,
okay. They seem to go together in a way. I did not have any rubber clothing that wasn't sticking to itself in this hot summer night. So I brought this rubber whip, which is very nice. It's a flogger, which was given to me by the Fluffy Bunny Whips people. It packs a wallop.
Yeah, I saw it, and it's really good quality rubber.
Yeah. Would you like to take a feel of my rubber? Yeah, feel my rubber, baby. Oh, very nice. Yeah, feel it. I wish I was wearing it. Yeah.
Do
you have
flogger?
An ashtray over there? You need an ashtray? You got one?
We got
the feeling of the flogger. Yeah, it feels really good. It's very soft. I mean, you know, it doesn't hurt too much. Yeah. But you're a little bit into pain, aren't you?
Oh, of course I am, especially into electricity.
Electricity and...
And usually the floggers, but it has to be the more intense floggers, you know.
Crops.
No, not the crop.
Not the crop.
It has to be floggers.
I saw the professor using a crop on you.
Mm-hmm. He broke one on my back.
Aerostay. Mm-hmm. Aerostay orgy for Obama, where you're one of the stars.
Thank you very much.
You are. You're amazing.
Thank you.
That was our first meeting with you at the Aerostay orgy for Obama, which, by the way, is just been edited.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean...
Oh, I need to see that.
We have it. We haven't made it into a DVD quite yet. The release date is August 15th, but we're very excited about it, and you are one of the stars, for sure.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I remember that performance with the dildo and the vibrator and having orgasms all over the place.
All over the place.
Yes.
Yes, you were definitely a goddess in our temple.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and you do seem to have a kind of religious devotion to what you're doing. Is that called subspace?
Yeah, I would say subspace, but it's more pleasure. It's just because I love doing it.
You're just a pleasure slut.
Exactly.
Okay, well, we're into ethical hedonism here. So, that's all cool. Well, anyway, welcome to Radio Suzy One. We've enjoyed your performances tremendously at Aerostay Orgy for Obama, as well as the Bondage Gala. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that was another good
one. Oh, that was... that you outdid yourself there.
Thank you.
With all the electricity. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of, like, shocking stuff that night.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yes. With the professor and a couple of other slaves. Mm-hmm. Or actually, you were the... alpha slave,
mm-hmm,
right?
The alpha sub for professor.
Uh huh.
He had Dana Lee and Pet.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. Before I move on to my other guests, and then I'll move back to you, mm-hmm, and we'll go back and forth.
Okay.
But I just want to know, and I'm sure everyone's wondering this: how did a nice girl like you get into an outfit like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, how did you get involved in the fetish scene?
How did I get involved? Honestly, research on the
research.
Web. I always had a thing for vinyl, you know. So I was thinking, what is much more better than vinyl? So then I came across rubber, sawing, making research on the web and all this stuff, and seeing rubber just astonished me.
So this is really what's happened here. The vinyl industry,
mm-hmm, is a gateway
has
drug.
You. It's a gateway drug.
It's a gateway drug. Right.
And now you're addicted. I see.
I'm addicted
okay.
to rubber.
Well, take notice of that.
Well, you know, it's one thing leads to another very often in life.
Exactly. Especially because rubber is really expensive, you know. So at first I was going with the vinyl. Then when I noticed rubber, and I was like, oh my God, it's so beautiful, the smell of rubber.
On you. I don't know. There's few people that rubber might not be so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But for you, a rubber fetishist is beautiful on anyone.
Yeah.
I mean, was it from car tires when you were younger or something? Like when you burn in rubber and stuff?
It was condoms.
Condoms. Rubbers. You know, you are like, have you ever worn an outfit like a human rubber?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're practically like that right now. With your head like that.
I've worn a full catsuit, like from head to toe, and encased in rubber. I've done really heavy rubber that's like about an inch thick of rubber from head to toe. I've done everything from that.
And you're kind of like a cat right now.
Thank you.
You know, there's the cat ears, except these big blonde pigtails are sticking out of them. It's really amazing.
Thank you.
And this very cute kind of cat suit in a oriental style. I shouldn't say oriental, except it looks oriental.
It is oriental.
Well, Asian is the more politically correct thing to say, I guess, but that, you know, oriental sounds fetishistic, and that is.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But, okay, so you got into it like fabric, one fabric to another, but how about all the pain and the electricity and...
Well, that was more little by little. When I first started shooting and doing, you know, when I got presented to do latex modeling, little by
modeling. Mm-hmm. You got see, modeling is a gateway drug. How about that? Modeling leads to stuff, to doing the stuff that you're modeling about. You know,
exactly.
It's true. Wow. Well, that's interesting. Well, you're a very pretty girl, so I can understand how, you know, modeling might be the first kinky thing that you do in life, because somebody would say, you know, why don't you put this on and model for me, or take this off and model for me, depending, you know.
Exactly.
And then you wind up doing things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like letting them electrocute you, but in a gentle way. It's not, is it electrocute? That sounds like they're killing you. It's electrify?
It's more electrocuting because I take pretty high voltages.
You look like you are. I mean, we have some pictures of you. Have you seen the pictures on the blog? I have to
yeah,
show.
Yeah, I actually did.
Okay, I have to show the Mormons. Wait till I show them. You being electrocuted, and she's topless. She looks great.
Thank you. Thank
with the nipple rings and everything. Mm-hmm, very, very nice. Mm-hmm. Okay, so Rubber Necro. This is your name, Rubber Necro.
Exactly.
And we call you Rubber for short.
For short.
And the necro part is some kind of a death eroticism?
Yes. I've always had a really big thing for corpses.
Corpses? Mm-hmm. Like actual corpses?
Like actual corpses.
Oh, my God. Or ghost. Oh, my ghost. Really? Actual corpses. Have you ever encountered an actual corpse in a way we should know about?
Yes. I've encountered lots of them when, I mean, I come from
lots
LA.
Of them. East LA.
So I've seen a lot of death in front of me, people getting killed yeah. in front of me and all that stuff. And I mean, I don't see it as much as, oh, okay, like a disrespectful way for corpses. It's more of an appreciation of the corpse.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I
That's
think
how.
So. I'm learning. I'm learning about this. That you're, yeah. you're kind of presenting this in a way that I'm it's opening my mind, which is rare for me because mm-hmm. I have such an open mind already, but yeah, you just opened it a little bit more that you could find sort of an erotic and spiritual, well, you know, and it makes sense in a way, a spiritual connection with corpses that because you know, there's people are being killed on the streets.
Mm-hmm. But the main thing that got me into it was my mother's death. Seeing her body, I just thought it was the most beautiful thing, you know. Well, I mean, not that she was
This dead. Part is Catholic. This Catholicism is also a gateway drug, right?
Oh, that's a gateway
drug. Catholicism
to
is a total gateway drug to necrophilia, I think. In a way, the cat, you know, there's a lot of love
lot
of the corpse,
of,
yes.
Exactly. They give a lot of respect to the dead. So,
yes.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what they have, like in Mexico, they have the Day of the Dead where they go and pray and, you know, give respects to the dead.
And you look like you come out of a Day of the Dead kind of drama, you know, one of those little plays, like a mystery play that they do, mm-hmm. you know, and you're some kind of spirit. What is your spirit? Do you have a spirit name of some sort?
Okay,
so or is
no,
that Rubber Necro?
No.
And then
it's
you have some other name that I don't even want to know about. Maybe some other time, but not on the air, right? Mm-hmm. Actually, I think I know your name. I'm not going to say it. It's like the name of, it's like Yahweh, right? Okay,
don't
we don't say
nothing.
The name. All right.
All right,
so we're moving along to our other guests. We have a contingent in honor of Pioneer Day. And this is the Book of Mormon I have right here. This is a very well-thumbed-through Book of Mormon from our very own Sister Mel, Melissa.
Sister Mel.
And Melissa's here. She's a little ill, Sister Mel, but she has the spirit of Brother Joe in her heart, and she's here to join us for Pioneer Day. And we're going to have a sexy Pioneer Day because everything we do at the Speakeasy is sexy. So we have Lindsay here.
Yes, you do.
Welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
And James.
Hello.
Hi there. Hey. So how did you celebrate Pioneer Day yesterday?
Drinking a lot.
Okay. Is
That's
that a Mormon tradition?
Well,
certainly a Catholic
in my
tradition,
book it
right?
Is.
Yeah. Yeah? I mean, how do Mormons feel about drinking? They say you're not allowed to drink at all,
you're
right?
You're not allowed to drink, but like in Utah,
yeah,
Pioneer Day is the biggest event ever.
Okay, so that might be the day you could have a drink.
It's literally the biggest event ever.
It's bigger than July.
Oh, totally.
July 4th, yes.
Hands down, yeah.
Definitely.
But
my sister right now is still at the cabin celebrating.
My sister lives in Utah.
It's her third day, yeah.
Hey.
She's in Utah
wow.
right now.
It's like,
and how are you supposed to celebrate?
They have a parade. It's a state holiday. Yeah. It's huge.
My dad actually went on a pioneer trek.
Okay. You're supposed to go off in the woods.
And he hiked for 3 days.
Okay.
Really? Wow.
And he's
like the pioneers with hand carts.
Is he an elder? Is he a...
He was a bishop.
A bishop. Wow, that's high.
That's big time.
That's like a priest in Catholicism? Or
yeah.
Not, but you don't have to be celibate.
No, bishop is probably higher than that.
In fact, you can have four wives. Not, I know, you're not allowed, but still, we all think you do. That we all think that that's the benefit that you get from following all these rules is you either get four wives, or if you're a woman, you know, you get all these sisters.
Well, it's kind of, funny
share,
because
share the housework,
it's kind of funny because we don't support the Mormons anymore to have four wives, but we do support the Iraqis
to have four wives,
and they can have many wives.
Four, I think, is the number, actually.
Is that four? Is that
we had that. There was a couple of Iraqis that were on the show when we were on Skype.
Right, right.
And they said four wives is what you can have.
Four wives.
Yeah. But you have to be able to afford them.
It's true.
That was our guy's problem, is he couldn't afford a wife.
He couldn't afford one?
He had one.
Okay.
And they had five kids already. Ooh. Five kids. And so, you know, he wasn't attracted to her anymore. And actually, he never was attracted to her. His parents picked her. And he says, so I want a second wife. You know, I should tell you the story the way it happened. Real quick, he calls the show. He says, I have a problem.
Well, wait a minute. Let me preface that a second.
Okay.
We, of course, are very Western, and we have all the knowledge in the world, and we know everything. We have sex shows, and we have experts on sex, right? And sexuality, and we happen to have another sexpert that night.
We did.
Yeah. And
we
were talking to this Iraqi man, and we were trying to figure out what was going on, right?
And the Harvard girl that wrote Pornology.
Right, Pornology.
Right. So this Iraqi man calls, and he's married, and he's an English professor, and he says that he's having a problem because he's not feeling sexual towards his wife. And so we're giving him all this advice as to how to improve his relationship with his wife. And I realized that he didn't want to improve his relationship with his wife. He was going, thank you, very polite, but he wasn't interested. And I said, you're not interested. I said, well, what do you want to do? Why are you calling then? He says, I said, well, what do you want to do if you don't improve your relationship with your wife? Are you going to have an affair? He says, no, I would not do that. She is a good wife, and I would never cheat on her. And I said, well, are you gonna, like, masturbate? No, that's not good either. I said, well, what are you gonna do? I'm going to take a second wife.
That solves the problem, I guess.
It does.
Right. We're like,
anyway.
Duh.
Yeah.
All right.
But he just couldn't afford one yet, so he had this period of a few months while he saved up the money. But anyway, that's not what Mormons do, right?
Not in my family.
Not any that I know, no.
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 Well, do you know of some?
I actually don't.
I don't
know. Only one I know of is Big
Love. I even know of them.
I think they live in the mountains and they hide in, you know, the hills and little compounds.
That was only in the good old days.
They do. They hide in little compounds.
There you go.
Right.
So I guess the regular Mormons never see them. So.
No. I think they're like banished from regular Mormons.
They're, they're banished from regular Mormons.
They do not associate at all.
Right. They have their little sects. Not S-E-X, but S-E-C-T-S.
Yeah. They have their sex on.
And they have their S-E-X as well with three, four wives, yeah.
Yes.
But
so, are the Mormons, you know, there's a lot of chosen people running around.
Yeah.
That's what they say, yes.
Yeah.
But there's two groups that use that phrase, the Jews and the Mormons.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
So yeah, we get a lot of trouble for it, us Jews. I guess the Mormons get a lot of flack for that, too.
And you guys
it's very kind of annoying to other people when you call yourselves chosen.
Well, you know.
Right.
Yeah.
But you guys
can't argue with it, you know.
Right. But anyway,
You guys got 15 million people?
I don't even know the numbers.
I think that's about it.
Right. Around the world or in the U.S.?
Million.
Around town,
world, right?
You know.
So were you born and raised Mormon, born and raised?
Well, where I lived, it was in Canada, and the whole area was settled by Mormons, so all the towns, all the areas around me, everybody was Mormon. It was kind of, I think it was illegal to not be Mormon.
Wow. So what town is that?
It's just in Canada, like Carston,
in
Raymond,
Canada.
McGrath. Sterling.
Really?
Bradford.
I thought they only had towns like that in Utah.
Oh, no. They went up from Utah into Canada. They settled Idaho, Nevada. They even settled Las Vegas.
There's pockets everywhere.
Yeah, they settled huge areas in the west.
Orange County.
Yeah.
A lot of Mormons. A lot of Mormons in Orange County.
So,
and the Mormons.
Have you run into many Mormons, Rubber Negra?
Yeah.
Have you run into many Mormons?
I've run into a couple of them because I live in Orange County. So yeah. A lot of Christians and Mormons.
Yeah.
I have run into more and more Mormons lately. I don't know what it is.
They're everywhere.
In the West more, yes. Yeah.
And I'm noticing them more. I mean, we've had a whole bunch of...
Pioneer Day, right? That's why they're in the West.
I guess. I mean, this Pioneer Day thing is getting to me. I mean, are you supposed to have sex on Pioneer Day? If you're married and everything.
I literally, when I was growing up, I thought my parents only had sex 5 times because they had 5 kids.
Uh-huh.
And,
really? And you thought each time was Pioneer Day?
I was like, well, probably, right? Yeah. Celebration, right? Pioneer Day, anniversaries,
I had a different experience. I'm pretty sure my parents had sex daily. So.
Daily?
Yes.
Really? How did you know that?
The sounds.
I walked in, I heard.
Oh, no.
I witnessed.
Were they wearing those garments?
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes.
They were.
Really?
They'd have sex in the garments?
No. You know, they go naked. It's much sexier without, of course.
Well, I don't know. You know, rubber necro feels there. It's sexier to have a certain kind of garment. Right. So that's why I wonder if there are some Mormons that might even fetishize the Mormon garment.
Fetishes are illegal in the Mormon religion.
Illegal?
Fetishes.
How can a fetish be illegal?
I don't know. No, but I'm saying, like, it's not accepted. You know, you've got to do traditional missionary style
but
kind
Mormon,
of thing.
Mormons
you know?
Are different than a lot of religions because they're pro-sex.
Well, that's
not
true.
Anti-sex.
That's
yeah.
true.
Sex is a good thing. If you're in a relationship, you should be having sex.
What no, if you're not married?
It was totally different experience for me.
Okay.
Because it was not... Because
you were
like,
the girl, in fact.
Well, yeah, and right. I can't speak for all the other Mormons in the room, but I was told, you know, you're fed, sex is bad, sex is bad, sex is bad. Okay, you're married. Now it's okay. You know,
now it's okay.
But then you get,
that
like,
sounds
fucked
like
up
most
in the head,
religions,
you know? You
so.
Get really messed up.
And if
up.
You're going to have sex, you better be having good sex,
hey.
Too. Because yeah. you're going to be having sex now, later, all the, you know, like, after you die, you're still having sex. You know, that's what Mormons, you know.
After you die, you're still having
they
sex.
They believe you're still
Is
having
this
sex.
A little necrophilia? Are you doing it with a as a corpse?
Oh, there we go.
Or are you doing it in heaven as a ghost?
I should ask more questions, but I'd assume this.
So you were brought up and... Your parents were doing stuff, right?
Yes, all the time.
Okay. All the swingers.
And so that's why he believes that he grew up thinking that, you know, sex is good as long as you're in a
really?
As long as you're in a relationship right. or as long as you're married.
Well, it was always, you know, marriage would be the ideal, whereas relationship would be, you know, like better than not being in one.
Okay.
So but
okay.
but Mormons are very into the whole idea of mixing, like, sex is this spiritual thing, and you would do
Definitely.
It in the next life, and it's something that you perfect in this life. You know, maybe like a Kama Sutra type, kind of like a, you know...
See, that's all very fetishistic.
Yes.
Yeah.
The idea of perfecting sex.
I think
you
I
know,
just grew up
just
in
plain
it.
Old natural sex isn't anything perfect. It's just
I
a
just
big old
think
mess.
I grew up in a really repressed house, like, where you can't... My mom... Just the other day, we were talking, I think we said a penis joke or something like that, and she got all red and, like, walked out of the room. So, that's where I'm coming from with this.
Yeah. Okay.
I grew up different. Yeah. I grew up in a liberal Mormon house. My dad worked for the government. He was...
That's worked, liberal.
He taught at universities and such, and he was...
Well, a liberal Mormon. That sounds like a contradiction in terms.
Actually, the Mormons are great, like Jews... The great business
types.
People. No,
yeah.
They own Blockbusters for a long time.
Right, right. A lot
they
of
own,
business.
Yeah, they own a lot of businesses.
That comes from being chosen.
Yeah.
Seriously, you think a lot of yourself and you invest in yourself and you invest in your ideas. And,
but,
you know,
if you own companies like Blockbuster, of course, you spread information about all kinds of things and sexuality and politics and so forth. I've always had a lot of respect for the Mormons. Mm-hmm. I was thinking, should I marry a Mormon woman or a Jewish woman?
Right. Really?
Well, the Jews are pretty good because you only have to confess once a year. You know, it's not too bad.
Well, speaking of which, I mean, Mormons are interesting and everything, but I've always been attracted to Catholics.
Well, yes.
You know, I'm trying to learn more about Mormons, but, you know, the whole Catholic thing for me is so kind of nasty. You know, right?
Yeah, I
mean, it's full of sin, and sex is always bad, which makes it really good. I mean, there's none of this. I mean, even when you're married, it's kind of bad. Mm-hmm. You're just supposed to do it as opposed to, you know, the worst thing, which is to masturbate or something, which is so ridiculous. I mean, the Catholic religion is so, but ridiculous that, you know, you're always sinning. You're always sinning. So, you know, it's sexy that way.
It's that they have so many restrictions that everybody just breaks the rules.
And all the saints. Right, exactly. You're always breaking the rules. So there's this live and let live mentality, and there's this idea that there is no such thing as perfection.
Exactly.
Only Jesus, perhaps, maybe, and not even, was perfect. And Mary. Maybe Mary's even a little perfect. But, you know, Mary's not perfect, right?
Mary.
After all, she had sex with God, right? And then there's Mary Magdalene. Do you ever think of yourself as a modern-day Mary Magdalene?
Not really. Not
now
really.
I'm putting the idea in your head. The rubber Mary Magdalene. You could do a whole thing.
Different.
Rubber Mary.
Rubber Mary.
Rubber Mary. I've seen rubber nuns.
Yeah, I've done a shoot with nuns. Oh, that was the best shoot ever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
Mistress Genevieve did a rubber nun thing here at the Speakeasy.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, she did. Yeah, but you see, you don't associate Mormon garb with rubber at all. It's Catholic stuff falls better into that sort of thing. But the idea of sexual perfection.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Does that
I like that.
How does that influence you?
Yeah.
You like it? It's
sexual
tough.
Prefer, yeah.
It's a lot to live up to there.
Yeah.
A lot. Yeah.
I like it. I'm up to the challenge. It's good.
I'm an imperfectionist myself. I'm always, the show must go on. Even if you're not ready.
You keep working at it, right?
I mean, you work at it, you know, you do your best. And to me, I've always got a hair out of place, I mean, at least, or lipstick on my teeth or something. And you know, the show must go on. You do your best. Mm-hmm. And sex is never perfect. Sometimes you might have a perfect moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But there's always so many imperfections in sex that, I don't know. But it's hard to be under the gun like that, I think. Unless you kind of have an idea that there's perfection and imperfection.
So, I guess that all these religions and all these things really, no matter where we come from or what religion we have, has a lot to do with our parents and how perverted they are.
Mm-hmm. Very much so, because religion is about, you know, the parent, the authority, telling you what's right and wrong, and it usually comes from your parents first.
And what's possible, right?
Right.
Yeah.
You know, father, that's really what it comes from, or mother. So, you know, and you had a liberal upbringing in a way, but still Mormon. So you have this, you know, this idea. I feel it sort of beaming off of you, like, well, Mormonism. What's the big deal? It's you know, it's sexy.
I'm into sex.
Well, it was sick. I went on a Mormon mission, and I had guys, girls, everybody hitting on me. You know, they all thought the uniform was hot. So you know, we had people pretending all the time that, you know, they're like, oh yeah, we want to learn more, but really we get in and it'd be like some.
Ooh, I saw this commercial.
It'd be like some huge seduction scene, and you know,
there's a commercial that was playing on YouTube and maybe on television. I don't have a television, but I saw it on YouTube and it shows this really hot Mormon guy who was actually here at the Speakeasy. He's an actor, and he's associated with Mello. I don't know if any Mello people know who I'm talking about, but he's in Mello, and he's an actor in this commercial. He plays a Mormon. He's wearing the whole suit and tie, looking all buff in his suit and tie, and riding a bicycle. And he's going down the road, and all these hot women are coming out of their houses and waving to him and like throwing kisses at him, and then eventually he's like, you know, throwing his clothes off, tearing his, you know, his tie off and his jacket, and, you know, he's revealing his whole body, and then he runs to be with one of the women, and you know, he's got the Book of Mormon right there, and he's, you know, going door to door, basically screwing all the women. Is that real? Say it's real.
I know my friends used to flash the missionaries. They thought it was really fun, and I was like, they're 19-year-old boys. Of course they like that.
Of course they do. Well, I'm wondering
if they want to say no, but
if this commercial was based on a real, Mormon missionary.
We went to this one house once, me and the companion at the time when I was on a mission, Mormon mission. So we had our uniforms on, and these two ladies wanted us to teach them more, right? They wanted to know more about it.
Right.
And we got there, and they're like, you know, can I see your name tag? I'm like, yeah, sure, whatever. And she took it.
Yeah.
And she, you know, put it down her crotch, and, you know, she asked me if I wanted to come and get it. So, you know, it's...
Did she really? She put it in her crotch?
I had a lot of experiences.
Where'd
like
that.
Where'd you go? My brother went to Korea. I went to Vancouver, Canada. Okay. So, you know.
Well, I can certainly imagine that.
You know, people wanted to have a lot of sex there. So, I had guys, girls.
Right.
Groups,
and your parents brought you up to be a pretty easygoing, sensuous guy.
Yeah,
so, you know.
Yeah. My parents grew. Yeah, I grew up like.
He agrees with that.
Sex is a good thing, you know.
Yeah.
It's one of those things, you
That's
know.
That's great.
Like every other thing with Mormons, perfect everything, even sex, right? Make it great, you know.
That's great. Yeah,
I think I'll
nice.
Become a Mormon.
Yeah, you know, they take converts really easy. That's one way which they're different than Judaism.
Yeah, Jews,
they convert you. You want to become a Mormon? You know, you
can. It's like that, then yeah.
Can she wear a rubber outfit, though?
Yeah, she can wear rubber, you know, right?
With his church, you can. How about your parents' church? Lindsay, can she wear rubber?
My parents would be a little,
Freaked out.
Well, but on the other hand, the firemen wear rubber.
Yeah, it's true, but my parents are so conservative.
Wow, really?
So conservative.
But they made such a beautiful
baby. As far
as
you know, they are on the outside.
Well,
what do you think they do in private?
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure. I did see my... I remember seeing Viagra in my dad's nightstand.
Viagra,
there you go.
Oh my gosh. And then I went back and it was empty. I was like, well, they're doing it at least.
That's the test.
And here you are.
He used up the Viagra.
Wow. Well, you know, so I guess they just, maybe they don't talk to it about it with me. But
maybe
know,
not, you know.
You know, my sister, she's 35 and she still hides that her boyfriend and her... like live together.
She hides that.
She hides it.
From
my parents.
You know.
But my parents are like uber conservative.
Well, they're very strict.
Yes. Yes.
But
I need some of this therapy probably.
They're doing Viagra. So okay, so is there any kind of Mormon sex pot? Is there a Mormon sex symbol? I mean, of course, in Catholicism, Mary Magdalene is a big sex symbol.
I had a lot of people who wanted to, they get, you know, turned on our fetish for, like, Mormon underwear all the time.
I think Mitt Romney.
Even now.
Mormon underwear.
Mormon underwear.
Yeah.
The garment.
What, describe, are you wearing one? Are you wearing this garment?
I have it on.
Do you really?
Can we see it?
No way.
All right, Kim.
I didn't ask us to show them.
I don't know what
Give him another drink.
Mean.
Okay.
Maybe a few.
Can we see it?
this
is for research purposes.
But I've had a lot of people who have found it very, very sexy that I've kind of...
Really?
You know, been with in the past, yeah, that's true.
The Mormon underwear. Well, at least describe it.
Well, I usually get it extra small, so it fits all, you know, snug and tight.
But what makes it Mormon? Is it like boxers or briefs?
No, there's like
They're boxer briefs, so they're really,
kind of tidy whiteys, kind of?
It's just like a tight little white t-shirt.
Tidy whiteys!
And then like a tight little... tight boxer briefs you wear underneath.
But they go far. They go to your knee, right?
Well, it matters what size you get.
Well, that's true.
I get them extra small.
His parents were liberal. They say it's okay.
Yeah.
See, there's ways. There's always ways.
I think my parents get extra
to eroticize
keep it down,
your religion.
Yeah.
There always are ways to eroticize.
I've had a lot of people that have wanted me to sport them and, you know,
really?
Turn around. You know, they're like, those are sexy. So actually, recently, in the past few weeks, that's happened. So,
but I mean, it's really funny. It's really sexy that Mormons have an underwear kind. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, what other religion has its own underwear?
Yeah,
that's true. That's
I mean, I don't know about Jewish underwear. I don't even know about Catholic underwear. I mean, ruffled panties? What is Catholic underwear? There is no Catholic underwear, okay? There is no other kind of Protestant underwear. Is Mormonism considered a form of Protestantism?
I think it's
like a Christianity that's different than other Christian religions. It's not even Protestant.
To me,
it's a very metaphysical, spiritual realm.
Oh, they all are.
Consciousness.
Come on, they're all metaphysical and spiritual. They all. Yeah. I mean, religion is that way. If you look at it that way, or it's a bunch of rules and regulations if you look at it that way. You know, I think religions are very similar. There is a big difference in that some religions, most of the leading religions are male dominated.
Yeah,
that's
and
true.
Certainly Mormon is pretty
Definitely.
Male dominated.
Catholicism
is less. It's got the Pope, who's a guy, although he wears a dress, okay? Talk about fetish. Pope
but
wears a dress.
But you know what? Methodists, they actually
Is her mic on? Turn her mic on.
Yeah. Yeah. Wrong.
So wait. Okay, go again.
Methodists.
Mm.
Can you hear?
Here we go. Yeah, here we go. Methodists.
The Methodists, I actually see that they have actually a lot of women being pastors. When
yeah.
When it comes to the Methodist, you know, religion.
Okay. Yeah,
I guess
you
to
know.
Me that's like the only religion I've actually seen that have women.
Right. And Hillary Clinton is a Methodist.
Right. Because they have a method.
They do. They're very methodical, and they are politically correct. I think the Methodists, you're right, the Methodists are the most politically correct. And the Jews have a few rabbitsons, you know, a few female rabbis, a few at the lower levels of Judaism, not the big ones. But Mormonism is pretty male-dominated.
Although, I think the women rule the house there.
Yes.
Well, there's four of them in every house. You know, we know you're hiding those three other sister wives.
Yeah,
okay,
it definitely makes for a very demanding woman, yes. They want perfect sex, they want perfect lives, they want perfect everything.
Yeah, yeah.
But women want all this because
they want
men,
perfect men, yes.
Because the men get all the honor. The men get all this, you know, they get to be the elders, they get to be the spiritual leaders.
Yes.
So if you're going to do that, there's a little bit of that in Judaism too.
Mm-hmm.
There is, especially old Judaism, yes, and in Orthodox Judaism, the men are supposed to be the spiritual leaders, the rabbis and the teachers, and get a lot of honor, and then the women are supposed to actually run the purse strings and the family and everything. And yeah, I guess Mormons like that, but yeah, I mean, you don't have a lot of female ministers, I guess. Or what do you call them?
Bishops. You don't have any. Not one.
None. No female bishops.
It's not allowed. No, right? No.
How do you feel about that?
Well, considering I don't really go to church anymore. But
you
I
don't.
Think, no,
You're lapsed.
I don't. I'm lapsed.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's. I understand, especially from the way you grew up.
Yeah.
I mean, if you grew up like James here...
Hey, I have a great... Yeah,
yeah
great
if I grew up like him, then I might be more willing to continue going. But, no, the way I grew up was very different, so...
Is my mic still on? Okay, it's cutting in and out a little, or is it on? Yeah? Okay. Or you're my engineer. See, he's my bishop, and he's experimenting with my power. And I'm just hearing the sound going in and out and in and out. How do they feel about smoking, Mormons?
They don't like it.
They don't like much.
They don't like anything. You can't drink coffee, you can't drink tea, you can't do anything.
What do you do about all that?
It's into this whole health thing where you're supposed to be healthy because it puts you into a higher spiritual plane, which obviously, you know, they believe would give you better sex, right?
Well, there you go.
That higher plane is going to give you better sex, so, if, you know, yeah.
It's interesting how it seems as though Mormonism is sexy for James.
It is. Not for me. not so much for me.
Hey, I had...
And I grew up in a small town in California, which was a very conservative town to begin with. So even if... It doesn't matter which religion you were repressed sexually, I think.
Uh-huh.
Right? Yeah. Right?
And everybody wasn't Mormon, so you know.
No, but everybody.
Where James grew up, everyone was Mormon.
It was like all the mayors of all the towns around me, all the business owners, everybody.
There might be a stray, Methodist here and there.
You think we should play some Mormon music or something?
Why don't we play some Mormon,
Mormon music?
Yeah, that's, let's just...
Do we have to sit and pray to it, or
no,
what do we do? What do you mean, is there, I didn't know there was Mormon
actually,
music.
Actually, I have to preface this. This is sung by the New York Dolls. This is a New York Dolls song from a documentary that was made by a Mormon about Arthur Killer Kane, the bassist for the seminal 70s punk rock band. So this is them playing after he passed away.
Wait.
And he converted to, he was LDS before he died, so this is them playing a very, very, very Mormon song. It's a hymn. So this is him playing.
Okay. Him playing a hymn.
Yes, him playing a hymn.
Excellent.
Okay, here we go. I haven't heard this yet. Uh-oh. Sounds kind of corny.
You know Lindsay, right?
Oh, man, we can probably sing along. This is
okay, sing along,
right here.
Please.
No, after you, Melissa. You got my mic?
I don't know the words right now. I know, I need my hymnal here. Where's my green hymnal?
Sing along.
Is there vocals or just instrumental?
I could probably chime in once I hear the words.
Oh, there is going to be a vocal, I hope. Hello, Professor.
Oh, that's totally it. Wow. I feel like I'm in church right now.
It's come.
We're having a Mormon hymnal right now. Tonight's show is on Rubber Mormons.
There we go.
Okay, what do we do here? Are we waiting for a vocal?
I think we are.
Okay. Should we die before our journey's through?
Who is this
happy day, all is well. We then are free from toil and sorrow.
We play Come All You Saints.
With
there you go. We could stand up for that one.
Okay, so what do the words mean? What are we singing? I feel like I'm in church being made to listen to this thing.
Oh, how we'll make this chorus swell.
Hey, Melissa knows this This is about the Mormons crossing the plains, settling the western states, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So,
I love that we had Melissa leading.
Did your parents have sex to this song?
Not yet.
Not that you know of.
Maybe I should plan some.
All right, the professor has arrived.
Slow it down a little bit.
Okay, are we having another Mormon song now?
What's this one? Which one is it?
Oh, man. Okay.
It's Mormon night.
This song is about Joseph Smith.
It's about what?
This song is actually about Joseph Smith.
Oh, Joseph Smith. He's the one. How many wives did he have?
He was the original. He was the guy that translated all this stuff.
Yeah. Well, how many wives did he have?
I don't know. I think he just had Emma, right?
Really? Come on.
I think
it was only Brigham Young that had all the wives?
I think it was... I only knew of Emma. I think it was after she didn't want another wife, and so he asked her.
I don't know. Non-Mormons learn a whole different history of Mormonism than Mormons.
Probably.
We learned that all your main guys had a lot of wives.
Well, Brigham Young had tons.
He had tons.
His house in Utah. Yeah, because with Joseph Smith, it was at the very beginning of the religion.
Yeah.
He didn't.
Well, he didn't live that long.
Yeah, he didn't live that long.
Right. Oh, hello. All right, so you enjoy this music.
Well, if you go to downtown Salt Lake City, you're going to see where
he entered. Not a word was spake.
As many wives, and you can take free tours anywhere you want downtown Salt Lake City. Not that I'm trying to, advertise or anything, but, plugging it, But imagine there was a lot of pressure on him, to satisfy that many women, right? So
on Brigham?
He was probably quite the man.
Oh, yeah?
Well, I would think so. I would think he was a real sex
all that
master.
Way?
Yeah.
All those wives?
Yeah, I would think so. I would think, There had to be a little bit of sister-wife love going on.
Do you think?
I believe.
Maybe.
That's my thought. But that's the way I think.
There
were so many. I mean, wasn't there like over 100?
Well, maybe not that many, but there were a lot.
I don't even know. What was the amount of wives?
The only thing is, a lot of them were like
kind of like concubines, not really wives,
or they took them on because of like other
their
reasons.
Husband died or
like
something
their husband
like that.
Died or they
he'd get the wife
because back then like land rights like women didn't have rights and stuff, so they changed that stuff. So there was a lot of that stuff. So you know what I mean? It probably wasn't as sexy, but I'm sure if they did it now, it probably could be a lot sexier.
It probably could be. So.
I think it was pretty sexy in those days, for those days, you know.
Yeah.
I
mean, actually, the music is telling a story.
Yeah. What's the story?
The stranger started from the sky. The tokens in his hands.
Okay. Is someone being strangled right in front of me? And I have to be quiet.
Before my eyes.
Not literally strangled. Just kind of erotically manhandled around the neck.
One interesting thing about Mormons is there seems to be a lot of gay Mormons. You know what I mean?
Gay Mormons.
Yeah. A lot of Mormons. They seem to go on the missions and they kind of. You know what I mean? Like,
wasn't there a movie about that?
Yeah, Latter Days is about that. This
the
Mormon missionary who hooks up with this guy.
That's right.
Yeah.
How is that regarded?
Guys love Mormon missionaries. Like, you know what I mean?
Gay guys
like,
do.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because they're
every
so clean cut.
Every guy that I met was interested in learning more. You know what I'm saying?
They're so clean cut. That's why they're very hot for that. Oh, suddenly I hear my voice.
Oh yeah.
Was I off the? I don't know what's going on here with my microphone. I got ghosts in my microphone, or maybe they're in my headphones. Okay, so where were we? Mormons.
Gay Mormons.
Gay Mormons. So yeah, they're very clean cut and
it's like
Kevin
Mormon,
you know.
Well, I have a gay roommate, or I did when I live in Beverly Hills now, but I used to live in West Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
And my roommate there was gay, and he's going to Mormon church with me tomorrow because he loves those Mormon guys.
Oh yeah. Is he was he born Mormon or did he become Mormon because of the guys?
Oh no, he's not Mormon yet.
Oh, I see.
But he just has crushes. He said he wants to, you know, like I don't know, like what, you know, there's certain famous Mormons that he said he wants to corrupt and he wants to.
Ah, and how about you? What are you? Are you bi or?
Oh, I'm cool. I'm
you're cool.
I'm straight.
You're straight.
I think that sex is one of those things you need to experiment with and, you know, make it, perfect it, right? Isn't that what it's supposed to be?
I don't know if you can perfect it.
There we go with that perfection.
See, I feel we're all a little bit bisexual. So how are you going to perfect that?
Where are you on the spectrum?
I think everybody can be attracted to, you know what I mean, to things in different people.
Exactly.
You know, I think sex doesn't matter as much as people think.
Sex doesn't matter? Well, it matters.
As in male, female.
Yeah.
Oh, gender.
Yeah.
Gender.
Right,
there
I agree.
Go. That's a better word.
I agree. We're all human beings, and we all need sex, and we all need love, and we all need God in some form in our lives.
Oh, yeah.
Or goddess, or, you know, spirit. We need
there we go, spirit.
We do. And I'm just trying to integrate my show here, and so fetish is a form of spirit as well. In fact, the word fetish is originally a word regarding religion. You know, a fetish object is a religious object, like a garment, you know, is a fetish object. That's the original meaning. That's when I took anthropology class, which was so many, many, many moons ago, that I didn't even know about sexual fetishes, really. And I learned that a fetish was a religious object, an object that people invested with a sacred power that was greater than just the object, you know, and greater than just a thing, greater than just the atoms that make up the object, the physical thing of the object. It's got something that leads into another realm. Mm-hmm. And so I think the Mormons have a lot of that. I mean, the book itself, the holiness of it. But, of course, that's words. So, but the underwear. The underwear, that is a fetish object.
Oh, yeah.
And
Most definitely.
Most definitely. And then we have our guests here who we love dearly, who have been with us through a few shows now. And we're getting to know Rubberneck Row tonight. We've talked to the professor on a few Radio Suzy ones, but welcome back, Professor.
Thank you very much. It's always a pleasure to be here.
How you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. I've got all my three subbies with me here.
You're like the Brigham Young of the fetish scene. You really are. I mean, you know, definitely. What do you think of, you know, I mean, I know it's not necessarily your thing. I don't know if you knew that it was Pioneer Day yesterday, and so we're having some Mormon hedonism.
Gotta love that polygamy.
Gotta love that polygamy. But they insist that they don't do that. That the true Mormons don't.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah, exactly. That's how we feel. We like that idea. You know, you obviously have something going with regard to the stable of women. And they have different roles.
They all have different roles. I love each and every one of them dearly. Rubberneck Row is primarily my performance submissive, and we perform and live performances exclusively together. We do some really hot scenes. Last time we played, we did electricity, and I had a mouth protractor.
Right, that was freaky. I thought I was at USC Medical Center.
Yeah.
I mean, really, you were just making her jump and squeal. I mean, what was going on there?
Well, when we were here at the party,
yes.
That was like what they call a TEMS unit, which is basically a power box that puts electricity through different pads.
If that ain't seeing God, I don't know what is.
it is a spiritual experience, wouldn't you say, Rubberneck Row?
Oh, yeah.
Here, get on the
yeah.
microphone. You have to get close to him. You know, I have to have a threesome with the microphone. Okay.
Yeah, it is. I love the electricity and... It makes me really kinky.
You love that electricity, don't you?
And she's not satisfied till I use the magic wand on her and she comes.
Exactly.
At least three times.
Now, where do you use the magic wand? On her clit, like a normal person? Or, I mean, I'm not talking about normal. You know, vanilla. It's not even, I don't know. Or do you come from the actual electricity going through your body?
It's both ways. It could be either used with the violet wand or just a regular, you know, Hitachi wand. Either one, I have orgasms.
Now, I would say, I mean, when I observed you here, especially at the Bondage Gala, because I watched you more, but even at the Eros Day Orgy for Obama, now on sale, by the way, just get a little commercial in here. Now on sale in Shopping Heaven. How about that? See, we always have these religious kind of connotations here and suggestions, because we feel that sex and God are not at odds, actually, and that they're very related. And they are at odds often in religion. I mean, religion puts sex and God at odds, sex in the form of recreational sex, that is. Religions almost always want to procreate. Of course, there's Catholicism, which is the weirdest religion, even though it's the biggest. It's the biggest, so it's the most normal. But it's kind of got all these people that are celibate that are like the most honored in the religion. So it's like, really, whoa, what's going on there? But a lot of religions, you know, most of the big religions, they say you're supposed to get married and have sex and that's okay. But that's it. Married, missionary position, four children, preferably with the lights out and the garments on, or not necessarily the garments on, but you know, you're not supposed to really fetishize and romanticize and, you know, kind of go crazy with it, or have it for recreational purposes, have it, you know, when you're not married or not in a committed relationship, have it with groups of people, have orgies, things I like to do, things I consider, you know, kind of part of a well-lived life. Most religions are against.
A healthy lifestyle.
Absolutely. I think so. I think we should have sexual interactions in group settings, and religions are generally against that. The modern-day monotheistic religion, so-called monotheistic, though they all have saints and, you know, all
it's
that
the
stuff.
The institution, though, that puts that on people.
Yes, yeah. The institution does. The institution does, because they want, you know, I have an institution myself, and I understand about this. I have an institute, which is sort of an institution. And, you know, you want to kind of increase your customer base, you want to increase your clients, you want, so the religions, they want to increase the flock. So channel all that sex into procreation so we can have more children and more members.
That's what I am. I'm a shepherd leading my flock of submissives.
But you obviously do it for non-procreational purposes.
For non, absolutely.
Right. That's the difference.
Tonight I have with me not only Rubber Necro, but my subby Sam, who also does electric play and is also a performance submissive, but also we have...
I'm so excited. I didn't know that all these people would be coming.
And then, of course, I have Pet also, who I'm in a business relationship
Pet
with.
Pet is hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, she was at the Bondage Gala. So the one that you mentioned second, I don't think I've met her.
You have not met my subby Sam.
Subby Sam.
Yeah. And
bring her on to say hi.
Sam?
Subby Sam.
You have to see her
out. You're excited.
Her
you're out. Like a Mormon wife with a harem. And you're the alpha... The alpha girl, right?
Exactly.
Exactly.
So that would be the first wife.
Oh, exactly. Here you are. And what wife number are you? Here, get into the...
Subby Sam.
Subby Sam.
Okay, you all have to talk right into
talk
that
right
microphone.
Into that
please,
microphone.
Please.
Subby Sam.
Yes, I'm Subby Sam.
Okay, how long have you been a Subby Sam?
Has it been like 2 months? 3 months.
Wow. That's how's it going?
Great.
You're pretty new at it.
Sir, yes.
Yeah. Oh, well, you were doing it with other sirs or other doms?
Before?
One other. Uh-huh.
Yes.
And so this is something that you really feel good about?
Yes, absolutely.
Is it a religious experience
to talk
for
into
you?
Into the microphone, please, Susan. Susan.
Talk into the microphone.
Okay. I don't really see a religion going into it.
Oh, really? What religion were you raised with?
Christianity, but I turned into Wiccan when I was 12.
Wiccan. Okay. So this isn't, like, part of the Wiccan thing?
No.
No? Wiccan is a little bit sexy, though.
It is.
Yeah.
But, I don't know, I never really related it together or thought about it together.
Mm. Okay, well that's, you know, I'm pushing it together. Although I don't think it's a stretch, you know. A lot of religion talks about sex, and a lot of opening up your sexuality is about throwing off religious inhibitions.
So they're very open-minded, too.
The Wiccans?
Yes.
Right. As opposed, now which form of Protestant did you grow up with?
Christianity.
Christianity. I love that. Certain people just say Christianity. It's like everything. I mean, don't you consider yourself Christian? Aren't you Christian? Right, but you didn't grow up Mormon or Catholic, so...
No.
Was it like Baptist or something like that?
Not even. No, just Christianity. Right. What about you, Professor? What did you grow up with?
I was born Catholic and guilty.
Catholic and guilty, right. See? You know, immediate perversion. Born pervert as soon as you... You know, get baptized, basically.
Absolutely. And, but, you know, I can understand the sense of community from it, but just the bureaucracy and the hypocrisy of Catholicism, I think is problematic.
It's a little heavy. But you're in a kind of bureaucracy, you know, yourself. You're just at the top of it. You've
right.
got all these different slaves that have all these different functions for you.
It's a benevolent dictatorship.
Right. Yeah. You need a Mormon, though, to add to the flock.
Well, right now I don't think I can fit any more people in my bed.
Oh, yeah, so. That's true. You know, you got to get a bigger bed.
Yeah. But speaking of religious experiences, Rubber Necro has religious experiences whenever she sees Sam's ass.
Really? A religious experience?
Has an ass fetish, particularly this one.
Well, you know, there is a passage in the Bible. I don't know if you all know about this, but this is the Bible that is common to all of our religions. And there's a passage where Moses says to God, let me see you. I want to see you. I need to experience God. Come on, I'm your number one prophet, right? And God says, you know, I don't want to kill you. I don't want to. There it is. There's the ass. Okay, are we getting a visual of this? Okay, nice. Very nice. You have a religious experience. It's a very nice, perky ass, and the thing on the edge is going into it a little bit. Here, you want to use this rubber whip on it? Because, I mean, after all...
You
It's rubber. So God says, I don't want to blind you, kill you with my full presence. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to turn around. Okay. I'm going to turn around and show you my back is what the way it was translated to me when I was in Hebrew school, Sunday school. But I think it meant their ass. All right, what? Okay, what's the matter? Okay, so we have Professor whipping...
Flogging,
excuse me. Flogging. Subby Sam.
Look at her ass jiggle. I'm sorry.
And Rubber Necro is having a spiritual experience. Okay. Thank you very much. And how do you feel about this? I should check in with the Mormon crew here.
It's cool. It's fine. I like it.
Yeah.
It's
whatever.
Cool. It's fine. You like it. Okay. But is it okay? Whatever.
Yeah.
Do you think? I mean, what do you think about?
I think whatever.
Spanking?
Whatever you're into. I don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't turn you on though.
I think that kind of stuff. I think everybody has some sort of. You mean, like, everyone has needs, everybody has different desires, and there's no problem, like, fulfilling your fantasies as a Mormon or as any religion.
I agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and, I mean, spanking is, well, flogging, my goodness. There's some Christian traditions for flogging, aren't there?
There are a lot of traditions.
Aren't there a lot of Christian traditions for flogging? I think that's a Catholic thing, right?
Yeah.
The Catholics are always flogging themselves.
Of course, like, you know, when you go to Catholic schoolgirls. They will spank you when you're bad at school.
Well, yeah, there's spanking when you're bad. But I mean to have a religious experience and a kind of sensuous religious thing. I mean, was that just in Bergman movies or was that real? That there's flogging that goes on in Catholicism. Professor, you might know about this.
No, there are. There's this idea of punishing the self for impure thoughts.
Right.
So that is part of Catholicism, the self-flagellation. Okay.
Flagellation.
Excuse
me.
So
if you corrected me about saying whipping instead of flogging, I can correct you about flagellation. Sorry.
Doctor versus doctor. Wordplay. It's great.
Anyway. So there's this whole tradition of flogging out the imperfect parts of ourselves. And isn't in a way that's what we're doing when we enjoy the flogging is we're getting rid of crap, you know? I think I enjoy a little flogging. I don't enjoy all this stuff. I mean, the electricity's a bit much for me. Maybe.
Well, perhaps you haven't tried it with the right person.
Maybe not. I'm open-minded, but I'm scared. But I love flogging. And spanking, and I think that it's, you know, yeah, it's a lot related to childhood, and there's something religious about it. There's something, I always think of Jesus being flogged, you know, and I think of these sort of penitents parading through the streets, flogging themselves, or being flogged by someone. So.
Yeah, and then if you think about the ritual of blood, in flogging.
Blood. See, I don't find that sexy, but the Mormons are into the blood atonement. They are. Blood atonement. Isn't that a big deal?
Well, they do take the sacrament every week.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's no blood involved.
Oh.
It's water.
I heard, and this is again one of my Mormon rumors, and I still believe you guys have four wives. But anyway, what I heard was that Gary Mark Gilmore, who was the guy in Utah who was a Mormon of sorts, of course he killed some people, so he wasn't exactly a good Mormon, but he was the guy that got us back into capital punishment.
Well, he's probably a Republican.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah,
it's got nothing to do with Mormons, it's these fucking
But he was Mormon, and he used the whole Mormon concept of a blood atonement.
Yeah.
He said that in order to be forgiven for my sins on earth, I must have my blood spilled. It's chilling to me. And then they did. They shot him to death, and then we got capital punishment again.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I blame the Mormons for that, but he did.
I think Mormons are into capital punishment, you know what I mean? Like, if, you know, someone murders, someone rapes, yeah. someone's not going to ever change.
Eye for an eye
they,
kind of thing.
You know, like yeah. you know, capital punishment. Yeah.
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 No, I agree.
I mean, I'm not into that, but I am into this whippings thing for punishment. I think we should bring back caning. Okay.
Sorry.
That, by the way, that whip was given to me by Fluffy Bunny Whips.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I met them at Erotica
and,
LA.
And the food is being served
the
tonight.
The food is being served by Chef Daniel of Flavors with Love. What do mm-hmm. we have tonight? What is Chef Daniel
we've
providing?
Got a great dip that you can dip into.
Mmm.
Yeah.
That's religious.
Yeah. That's religious.
Get baptized.
Yeah, get baptized.
So I think
you, you could become a dip.
I do think of the these kind of fetish activities as a form of personal therapy for the guilt that we grow up with, that we're taught. What do you do? I know you don't feel any guilt, James. You're a true Mormon hedonist, and I appreciate that. I think that's totally cool. I'm into it.
I live it. You know how it's supposed to be lived.
But you're more on the spirit side.
Mormons are all about sex. Do you know what I mean? Like God has sex. People have sex. You have sex after you die.
Right, actually, right.
Yeah, perfect sex. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Like if you have to try a lot of things to perfect that, that's so be it. You know what I mean? Do it.
Like Olympics, yeah. like yeah. get to be good at it.
He's the decathlonist.
Find out what you like.
But is there a place for someone like me?
Yeah.
I mean, Mormon is a religion of missionaries, so they immediately say, yeah, you haven't heard what I'm about to say. But my kind of sex involves, you know, like I do have regular marital yeah. sex, you know, yeah. and I that's my bread and butter. Yeah. You know, I got a husband and I have sex with him. But I also like this group stuff.
Yeah.
You know. Yeah. That's okay with the Mormons?
Well, sex is what power, right?
It's well, and with this Mormon and
can you have know? Sex with in groups with Mormons?
And it's one Mormon at a time, you know.
I know a Mormon porn star. Now she's a lapsed Mormon. Okay, yeah. Natasha. She's not here tonight. So you gotta think about that. If there's a place for that, you know.
Well, my roommate was talking to me about my old roommate from West Hollywood, he's this gay Mormon or he's you know, this gay guy, and he was talking to me about, you know, different Mormons that he wants to have sex with. I think it's more of a corruption thing, right? You know?
Yeah, but they do it one
time. He said he wants to have sex with different Mormon celebrities, and yeah, you know, like.
Wow. Who's a Mormon celebrity?
Catherine Heigl.
That one guy.
Aaron Eckhart. He's in a bunch of things. David Archuleta. My friend, my roommate wants
that. Everyone loves him.
He wants David Archuleta. Yeah, he wants him as his man.
He's like the innocent, don't touch Mormon.
A lot of people want to corrupt Mormons, I think.
That's the thing.
That's a hot thing to do, is to corrupt.
If you get a Mormon, maybe that's like the.
Right. Right.
The top. Because
you figure the Mormons are so uptight that they're highly corruptible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I figure that. That's why I'm having this whole Mormon hedonism.
Hey.
Yeah. So back to you, Lindsay. So what have you done to kind of give yourself some, you know...
Freedom?
Yeah.
Move back home with their parents.
Shut up. I literally can't do anything right now. It sucks. I hate it. Yeah. I do.
Wow.
It's bad.
Well, you can't have...
I live in a small town.
Do you masturbate? Well,
that's all you can
okay,
do.
Okay, at least you do that. Rubber knuckles.
I take care of myself. I take care of myself.
All right, girl. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Take matters into your own hands.
Yeah.
You know, you got to. I'm glad you do that. Is that against the Mormon religion or not mentioned?
I think if I went to church regularly, I'd probably have to go talk to the bishop.
Well,
in Judaism, girls are allowed to masturbate.
Really?
No problem.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, guys know because it's spilling the seed, and the guys are supposed to only spill the seed in the womb because of the procreation thing.
But girls,
they don't care.
That's kind of like that's kind of like Kama Sutra. You know what I mean? Like you kind of make it, you know, like it's not about the orgasm; it's about the experience. You know, you're making it last. You're making it, you know.
It's about the seed.
Adding this whole spiritual consciousness, awareness, dimensions to sex. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, so I don't know. I don't know if Mormonism is against masturbation. Now, Catholicism, we know, is against masturbation, right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. You say not to the human. You Rubbernecker, are very pro-masturbation.
Yes, I am. Yes,
pro-masturbation. Let's hear it. Why? What? I mean, I am too, but preach, Rubbernecker.
I mean,
Sister Rubber.
I love having sex and all that, but I think masturbation is the best thing because it releases stress.
Yes.
It releases everything.
You don't have to worry about somebody else.
Exactly.
Mental clarity.
You know,
yeah.
I think masturbation is a healthy thing to do.
And, you know, you might change lovers in life. Most people do. Whether you, if you don't, even if you don't have group sex like some people we know, you're at least going to go from one to the other, probably, unless you're Lindsay's parents. And so the longest term relationship you have is the one with yourself.
Exactly.
And it helps you to be a better lover to masturbate. Do you ever do it as a religious experience, like with candles and stuff?
No, I've never done it like that. But I do it with rubber, I guess.
Oh, rubber.
Yeah,
okay.
With rubber.
Mm-hmm. With her.
And a Hitachi one, which is...
We love the Hitachi magic wand.
I guess to me that is religious.
Also on sale in Shopping yes. Heaven, the Hitachi magic wand.
Exactly.
Yeah.
One of the best tools ever created.
It is. It's a fantastic tool. Do you have one of those?
I don't.
You know, the problem with it is they make a lot of noise, so it might not work in your situation living with your parents.
You need a pocket rocket.
There we go.
Yeah, you
there
need
we
a
go.
Pocket rocket.
Yeah.
Right. Well,
I'll work on that one.
They make a little noise.
The pocket rocket from the Jewish conspiracy, Doc Johnson.
Right. Exactly. Not the Japanese make
right.
the finest.
You know,
the Jews
in this
make the cheapest.
Of perversion.
Mass
and
produced.
Conversion, you know.
Yes. No, well.
So,
masturbation. It's a good thing.
Good thing. Mormonism.
Something.
Good.
Is it okay? Do you think it's okay?
I think that most Mormons are into G-spots and experiencing, and, you know what I mean? It's all about development, experiencing.
I think if my parents ever saw me masturbate, they would
non-procreative.
Make me go to church.
See, G-spots could be procreative. You can be into G-spots. I notice you are really towing the Mormon line.
Well, Mormons are into
a beautiful woman that just walked
recreational
in.
Sex, yeah. Like, you know, like, there's a bunch of reasons, you know what I mean?
No, I agree
combine
with that.
Combine them together,
yeah.
It creates this powerful thing,
yeah.
Yo.
Yeah, it is a spiritual thing, though.
I think also the Mormons are very powerful people because there's very few of them, and they're, like, into business and stuff.
Here's the pet.
You know? And,
my pet. That was the pet.
And whenever you talk about power, you talk about sex, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. There's a lot of power.
Is there anything on sex in this book that I can, like...
There's an index.
Yes,
there's an index.
Can you look? Because,
sure.
You know, I don't want to...
You don't want to touch it?
Well, no, I'll touch it, but I mean, I think you'd be quicker, because you've studied this book, correct? I have not.
I've
studied the Bible.
Well, I went to a Mormon college, and they told me that sex was for a bunch of reasons.
Yeah, what did you guys learn in college?
Romance, recreation,
sex
everything.
Was for them.
Are there any sexy women in the Mormon Bible? Are there any like one of the wives? Is she like seductive and
running wild around Utah?
I mean, there's all kinds of sexy people in the Bible, sexy women in the Bible,
yeah.
Such as. Ruth. Ruth is the one. Delilah, of course. Delilah's a bad one, but she is sexy. Mm-hmm. And she, of course, is evil. She cuts off Samson's hair. And
Jezebel's
evil. You're thinking of all the evil ones.
Well,
there's good,
like
sexy women like Esther, who saves her people through her sexuality.
Yeah.
And like Ruth, who seduces Boaz on the threshing floor.
In the book of Ether.
Eve is a little mixed. She's bad and good. You know, she's the mother of humankind, but she's friends with a snake.
I only see sensual in here.
Sensual? That's good. What's sensual?
There's a woman in the book of Ether who uses her sex appeal.
The book of Ether?
Her sex
appeal. Is that where you, like, get high on...
No, okay, so...
No, not ether. Ether.
Ether. That's ether. That's the drug. No, it's not nothing to do with the drug.
It says, because a fall of mankind became carnal... Sensual, devilish. That's all it says.
Is that right?
Wait a second. Say the whole sentence there.
No, that's all it says. I can. Let me flip to the page.
Okay. I like the way you're smoking that cigarette, holding that Bible, you know.
It's
going for that Mormon truth there. We're going for truth tonight, brothers and sisters. Brothers and sisters, lovers and sinners, we are studying religion. We are studying fetish. We are learning the truth of our spirituality. Amen and amen. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
I like those pigtails there.
Thank you.
Yeah. Are they they're a fetish object in some way?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're synthetic hair.
They're real hair?
No, it's synthetic.
Oh, the synthetic hair. You're very into synthetics. Is that because you're a vegetarian of some sort?
No, I'm not vegetarian.
No, okay. You eat meat. But
I love meat.
Mm. Do you like the way the rubber makes you sweat?
I really do. I love just the fear, especially when you're in rubber and you can't
the
go
shitting.
Inside. Water. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my goodness. Now, I want to talk to you about some of that necro stuff and while Lindsay finds some good sex passages here in the Book of Mormon. But in the meantime, mm-hmm. you know, you were talking about growing up in East L.A., Catholic, and
a
lot of gang killings, I guess,
yeah.
and gang life, which has its ups and downs. But one of its downs, I guess, is a lot of death.
Exactly.
Did anyone close to you get killed?
I have a lot of them. One of my best friends, cousins, well, my mom.
Mom?
Uh-huh.
How was your mom killed?
Well, I mean, it wasn't gang-related. It was more like smoking. She was a chronic smoker,
okay.
and she died because of that, you know.
But she was smoking because she was worried about everybody.
Exactly.
Right.
Smoking
no,
what?
No, don't worry about it.
Smoking what?
Smoking a lot of cigarettes. That was her thing. And honestly, her heart, she was, you know, born with a heart murmur and then smoking,
okay.
which combined.
It combined.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
But I mean, a lot of my mom's side of the family died because of shooting. I had cousins who were shot by, you know, lost bullet. They were at the wrong time and, you know, they got killed.
The wrong place.
Yeah. And
so just a chance, random mm-hmm. occurrence almost.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
So, you know,
not random in the sense that it happens more often in that neighborhood, but
mm-hmm.
random in the sense that they weren't involved in anything.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so as a little girl, how did you process this?
Well, at first, to be honest, I really didn't think much of it because I was little. And to me, I would see it as, oh, well, they're not here. Where do they go? You know, because at first I didn't process, you know, what death really was.
Right.
But when, like, my mother had died, it gave me a whole different perspective.
And when was that?
That was actually on August 18th of 1999.
Recently?
Mm-hmm.
Of 1999. Okay, not that recent. Never mind. It's 10 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
We're almost at the anniversary.
Exactly.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Wow. So at that point, that was like a turning point for
you. It was
you.
A turning point, and it really made me think more about death and about, you know, not just seeing, oh, people are just going away from this earth, you know, what's going on, where do they go? It was more of just, how can I explain this, loving, you know, the corpses, what they left behind and all that, just treasuring all their moments and all that stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
You know, like, I don't, at least to me, I don't see it as a bad thing, loving corpses and loving dead. I see it more as a respectful way. You know, it's a very loving thing.
You have 11 minutes?
Well, I mean, but do you do things with the body? Do you, like, embrace the body physically of a corpse? A corpse?
I really wouldn't want to answer that.
And that means a yes? Okay. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, hey, they're already dead. So, in my opinion, they're not really doing anything non-consensual. This person's dead.
Mm-hmm.
But it might be a little gross to some people, including myself. But it's not unethical, I don't think. I don't know. How do you regard the dead? I know I have 10 minutes. It's a pretty serious issue, though.
Mm-hmm.
The dead. Yes.
As a criminology professor, actually it would be desecration of a corpse, which is a crime. So
okay.
having sex with a corpse is actually a crime.
So. What if it's in their will that you can have sex with their corpse?
Now, that would be an interesting...
I think I would imagine Rubber Necro could get some people to put that in their will.
Oh, yeah. She won't say what her fantasy is, but I will say it's illegal.
Okay. Then I'm against it. Okay, you got that, LAPD? No, I didn't know. I mean, I did know it was illegal. It is illegal, and so I am against it on a legal level.
Even though they give consent, what is illegal?
Having sex with a corpse.
Yeah, that's a modern thing.
Well,
there's actually only a few states that it's actually illegal in the U.S.
Right.
You can fuck dead people. There's no problem.
What does the Book of Mormon have to say?
Well, I found in there...
Well, apparently you can gain love and all these great things through sex, but you can also seduce someone and get them to chop off your enemy's head through sexy dancing.
Well, I know there was...
So there's a bunch of stuff.
I know there were stories that somebody seduced somebody else to get their power kind of thing, right?
You can use sex to seduce to get power.
Yeah.
You can use sex to combine powers, yeah.
Yeah, well, that's done a lot in the Bible, using sex to seduce.
Seduce, yeah.
But I mean, is that done in the Book of Mormon?
Well,
do you have that in there?
Yes.
Of course.
Tell it to me, sister.
What I saw in the index here, everything about sensuality, because they didn't have sex in the index, was about, they mentioned devilish.
But I think they're meaning sensuality in regards to...
Yeah,
I don't think you're going
to
find that kind of thing in the index.
Yeah.
Exactly.
You got to read the whole
thing. For instance, you know, in the Old Bible, I don't know, the non-Mormon.
The whole idea is there's like a good, like everything's general and generic, it matters on the intention. You know what I mean? Like anything can be good or bad depending on the intention.
Right, and I could probably read that book and find a lot of sexual passages because I have a dirty mind.
Yeah.
Right, see, you're having trouble with it.
But I think
do you have
good.
A dirty passage there for
Not
me?
Not a dirty
no.
one.
No.
Like I should have came more prepared.
Okay, but you know
like
what? Hey, I got to say something right now in general to everyone because this show has been a very interesting show from my point of view, but it really has not done justice to either subject. One, necro-rubberism and Mormon hedonism. So we really do have to revisit both of these subjects and we have to have all you people back again. Because we're about to stop. I could go on and on, but we want to go to the bar.
We have 6 minutes.
We also have callers. I have so many callers. Is there one that I should put on?
No. It's too late.
Oh, Malena and Michael are downstairs. Okay, Malena is Mormon. We're going to... Yes, she's
Wait till you see this Mormon.
Beautiful, gigantic Mormon girl.
She's 50 feet tall.
She's 5'12" is what
oh,
she likes
five
to
foot
say.
12,
and she looks like Wonder Woman, really.
Right.
She's amazing, and she's very sexual. You know her. She makes a lot of corsets. She's an amazing... Anyway, you'll see her. But we're going to adjourn to the bar where we're going to eat... Fabulous Chef Daniel's cuisine. And I was just saying, the fabulous Mormon, look at her.
Oh,
she did justice to my description. And more did she not. Come on in here. Come on. You still have a moment of radio.
Look at that hat.
Look at this outfit. Oh, my goddess. You are combining Mormon propriety of some sort with the rubber necro fetishism, though this is leather, right?
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Leather, come on over here.
Cameras,
oh,
where are cameras?
Look at you, and we could just zip down and up. Oh my God, look!
I don't know what to do.
Oh my goddess! Well, we're gonna have to just do all of this again because we have such a great subject tonight: Mormon hedonism, Mormon sex, and Mormonism.
Hi.
Really. Is right here, and I want to thank
so hot.
Brother James and Sister Lindsay, and of course Sister Mel, who's been a little sick, but you've been here and supporting your friends, and they had so much to say. You didn't have to talk too much, but
we need to hear from Melissa.
Yeah, we do, but we're gonna do it again. We're you know, the show. How long is the show? We're going to an hour and a half here. We're done. We didn't have a chance to talk to any of our callers. Thank you, Rubber Necro. You are incredible.
And we're going to end with our music.
And Professor, thank you for joining us once again. We're gonna go out into the bar. We're gonna have a little party. We're gonna play a little. In the meantime, oh, and happy birthday, Lisa!
Lisa, happy birthday!
Girl. right off the bat.
Yeah.
A nice Catholic girl.
I love Lisa that she reminded me. That's so fantastic. Cause I, you know, people should just, you know, it's my fucking birthday. All right. So, great.
Wow.
We're celebrating Lisa's birthday, Pioneer Day, and I now declare it Rubber Day. By the way, it's Necro Day because it's the 1 month anniversary of MJ's death. Okay.
That's true.
MJ's death. Let's all cry. We love MJ more than alive. And he was another weird religion. What was that?
Jehovah's Witness.
Exactly. And music, you know, all weird religions. Anyway, thank you so much for joining us in your home, your mansion on a hill, or your cardboard box. I want you to be good. I want you to strive for perfection of sexual imperfection. Does that make sense?
There we go.
Right. Whatever religion you are.
Yeah.
Or spirituality.
Yeah.
Make like bonobos, not baboons. Make love, not war. Make love to someone you love tonight, even if that someone is you. I love you. Masturbate! Okay, come on over here. Let's have a group picture. We always do a group picture of everybody that was on the show. Thank you so much. Okay, we're not cutting off. We're just... Come on. Okay, should I sit here?
Therapists are just a phone call away. Totally private, absolutely confidential. We listen, talk with you, advise you, role play for you, fantasize with you. No fantasy is too taboo, and help you with anything from impotence to exhibitionism, fears to desires, fetishes to marriages. For more information, call us at 213-291-9497. That's 213-291-9497 anytime you need to talk.
You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. And now, here she is, Dr. Susan Block. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web, broadcasting from Los Angeles, California. You're listening to Radio Suzy One on the World Wide Web. You're listening to Revolution and Evolution. You're listening to Beauty.
Sorrow too, with the just
we shall dwell. But if our lives are spared again to see the saints fairest obtain, oh, how we'll make this chorus swell. All is well. All is well. Yeah.
To dream.
Faring man of grief hath often passed me on my way, who sued so humbly for relief that I could never answer nay. I had not power to ask his name, where to he went or whence he came. Yet there was something in his eye that won my love, I know not why. Once when my scanty meal spread, he entered, not a word was spent, just perishing for want of bread. I gave him all he blessed it and break. He ate but gave me part again. Mine was an angel's portion. While I fed in eager hate, the crust was manna to my taste. In prison I saw him next condemned to meet a traitor's doom at morn. The tide of lying tongues I stem, an honored image, shame and scorn. My friendship's utmost zeal to try, he asked if I for him would die. The flesh was weak, my blood ran chill, but my free spirit cried, I will. Then in a moment to my view, the stranger started from disguise. The toe in his hands I knew.